Thank you so much for joining us for our online worship experience. We are so glad to have you with us. Please take a moment to share this content on your social media. I also want to encourage you, please stay connected with us at 3trees.com and on our social media pages. As always, I want to remind you that you are in the right place at the right time.
So good to have all of you present today, especially those online, Overflow, and elsewhere. Have you ever looked more forward to leaving one year behind and going into a new one? Could you ever have imagined, as we sat in this sanctuary just a year ago in December of 2019, what 2020 would have been like? So let's just mark 2020 for what it is. And how about if we claim 2021 as a great year because we serve a great God? We're going to have a great year. We thank God for that. God is with us. That's the theme of the messages that Pastor Eric has been preaching about. And it's God's word to us. And always, always as we come to this time between Christmas and New Year's, we start looking ahead, don't we? Especially Americans, we start making goals. And we start looking at goals for our jobs or financial goals or maybe especially physical goals. Are some of you doing that? You want to get physical, so you start saying, okay, I need to start exercising or I need to start eating better or losing weight. Maybe you've been inside a lot in 2020, so you became a light eater. As soon as it became light, you started eating. You know, things like that. During the holidays when I was shopping, I looking at books and I saw this whole row of diet books for Americans who want to lose a few pounds. And there's a diet out called the garlic diet. The garlic diet. You eat all the garlic you want. You don't actually lose any weight, but people stand further away from you so you look slimmer. So I thought that was kind of an interesting way to do it. And I'm going to guess that as New Year's approaches, there's going to be tens of millions of people with their eyes glued to the TV set, and they'll be watching sports, especially football games. And are you familiar with the term armchair quarterback? People who are sitting in their homes watching the game, making decisions for the people on the field, debating strategy and goals and game design and things like that. And that is okay. That is okay, except, and now I want to get really serious, except most do not even have a passing clue, not even Christians, that the Lord of the universe has a game plan, a design, and a goal for each and every one of them for the coming year. God wants us to be in the game instead of just watching the game. Our God has a goal for you, and it is singular. It is most important. Nothing even comes close to this. And what does God want most of all for you in 2021? And I can say this with confidence from the scriptures, from Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 29, for who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God's goal for you and for me is that we become Christ-like. God planned it. That's what predestined mean. That is God's intention for us, to put on the character of his son, to not be conformed to this world, that's what it says in Romans 12, but to be conformed to the image of Christ. That means Christ's life, his patterns, his behavior. Now, friends, it's the holidays. You ever had a time during the holidays when you're with family and you just start falling back into old behaviors and family dynamics that really weren't Christ-like? And you start thinking, you know, I know we can be better than this. Well, listen, friends, Christmas is a time of gifts, and who we are is God's gift to us, but what we become is our gift to God. And I'm telling you, friends, that God smiles. You will feel God's pleasure when you make this your goal to become God's best version of yourself. When you start moving from calling to character, when you stop being just saved, sanctified, and petrified and holding on to those old fears that have been with you so long, and you say, I'm going to shed those because perfect love casts out fear. It's moving from having Jesus just as your Savior to truly saying he is now my Lord, because he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. It's deciding to move from living an ordinary life to living an extraordinary life, to make a life not just a living, because Christ promised you that if you followed him, he would give you an abundant life? Or how about deciding in 2021 that you will no longer stumble over those old weights or those secret sins that have hung on to you for too many years? Because this is how it works. I know this is how it works. Your life gets better when you get better. Your life gets better when you get better. And so we're coming to the start of a new year. It's like it's first and goal. And I can say with great confidence, according to the Bible, that God has a goal for each and every single one of us. And listen to this. It starts here. God is far more concerned with how you turn out than what you turn out. God is far more concerned with how we turn out, who we become, than what we ever do. That is, who you become more than what you do. You and I are human beings. We're not human doings. We'll support this from the scripture. Listen to this one from Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Even before God created the world, he had a plan. He had a goal for you and me, and that is that we would become holy. Why? Because the Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. I love singing that holy, holy, holy song, don't you? Oh, it just always draws me up into the presence of God. And all through the Bible, God's attributes are described in various places. God is love, God is justice, God is merciful. But there's only one place in the Bible, one attribute that describes it three times. And what do you think it is? God is holy, holy, holy. And that's what God wants us to be like. Paul goes ahead and uses another verse in Colossians, the first chapter, and says this, that our task is to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. See, God did not just create you to be happy. God created you to be holy. That's God's intent for you and me. Now see, happiness is dependent upon what happens to you. But in the with God life, and Pastor Eric has been preaching some fine messages on God with us, hasn't he? God does something in you. God does something in you. It is not your position in life that makes you happy. It is your disposition. It is your faith perspective. It's your attitude. That makes you happy regardless of the circumstances that surround you. You know, Cinda's here with me today, and to answer our unique calling before God to become ministers and professors, and that's just our calling. You have your own calling. It was required of us, so we had to go to school for a long time. I just say college was the 10 best years of my life, you know? And for about the first 8 years of our marriage, because we were in school and paying these enormous school bills and all this money going out, I had to work at three jobs, and we had very little. And we had to stretch every penny. And it was tough sometimes. In the first years of our marriage, we lived in this little tiny apartment. You don't know how small it was? If we had to order an extra large pizza, we had to eat it outside. That's how small it was. If I put my key too far in the front lock door, it would break the back window. Okay, that's a small apartment. But you know what? We didn't care. Some of you been there. We were happy to have that. We were loving God and serving God. See? And we loved each other, and newlyweds don't need that much room anyway. And so after we'd been married about 8 years, and we'd gotten through all that enormous study, I became the dean at a college and got a big salary increase, and we bought our first nice home. And in that particular home, the master bedroom alone was bigger than our first apartment that we had just lived in just years before. And Cindy and I agreed right away, that just now because we had the big house, it didn't make us any happier. Our outer circumstances had changed, but we were already content with what we had. Because we had learned this, and I think many of you have as well, the best things in life aren't things. It's not things. And to be so concerned with earthly things and stuff in your lives, that's what we mean about being self-centered. And if a person is self-centered, well, then he or she is off-center from God's will. Stanley Jones, the great missionary and spiritual writer, said he finally realized that he was growing up in Christ, that he was maybe finally reaching a place of maturity as a Christian when he was no longer preoccupied with himself. When he realized that he wasn't always thinking on his needs, on his wants, on his concerns. Now, don't get me wrong here. Of course, you've got to think about your own needs sometimes. That's normal. You've got your wants. That is okay. It's not putting yourself down because you have needs and wants. That is okay. But let me put it another way. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's not putting yourself down. It's just thinking of yourself less. That's why John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus, he said, I must decrease so that Christ may increase. See, it's how you and I turn out. It's what we become. And what we're to be, we're becoming that right now. The thoughts we think, the habits we're practicing, the behaviors we're doing, we're eventually becoming something. And when Paul wrote to 1 Timothy, he actually told us how we're to turn out. He actually told us what the goal line is. What are we to be stretching for and reaching for? This comes from 1 Timothy 1:6. The goal line or the purpose of this commandment is love that is issued forth from a pure heart. It's having a good conscience. It's having a sincere faith. And that's what it means to conform to Christ. It's love. It's having purity in your life. It's being filled with faith. And then having a clear conscience so you can lay your head on the pillow at the end of the day and sleep the sleep of the just because God has cleansed you. You know, for months now, in my early morning quiet time before God, I've been doing a practice that was triggered by reading something the Apostle Paul did in the latter chapters of the book of Acts. He has to speak before King Agrippa, and Paul says, I live with a clear conscience before God and man. And I thought, I want that. I want to have a clear conscience. You know what I do in the morning? I always review the previous 24 hours. I just kind of let my mind roam. And I think about the previous day. Oh God, help me to bring something to my attention. Is there something I said that I shouldn't have? Is there a thought I had that shouldn't have been there? Is a behavior there that I had done that was not Christ-like? And then I think, is there something that I should have said that I didn't? Or someone I should have prayed for? Or thought, you know, that I should have been thinking towards someone or something said? And then I ask for forgiveness. And it is such a wonderful discipline because then you start your day with a clear conscience. Because I have to tell you, friends, I am a mess without God. Are you? I am a mess without God. I know now for a fact it is all about God. It is God shaping me, God conforming me, God chastening me, God disciplining me, God speaking to me, God guiding to me. And see, if you know that that's the case, then God gets all the glory and all the credit for how you turn out. That's how it works, friends. I think some of you might know the name of this person I'm going to mention. She's with the Lord now, but it was a famous Dutch saint. Her name was Corrie ten Boom. Did anybody ever read the book The Hiding Place or see the movie The Hiding Place? I checked out. It's on Amazon Prime, even though it's about a 40-year-old movie. It's also on Tubi. And Corrie ten Boom, during World War II, along with her sister and her father, harbored and hid Jews from the Nazis to try to save their lives. Well, they were discovered, and as a result, she, her father, and sister were sent to a horrific Nazi concentration camp. And her sister and her father both died there in these unspeakable conditions, and she suffered awful suffering because of her faith and her deeds. And by a miracle, really, she actually got out of that concentration camp. And Corrie ten Boom spent the rest of her life telling people how God's love can even enter into what would certainly be the most hellish place on earth, don't you think? A concentration camp where its only place is to bring in God's people, Jewish people, by the trainload, and then strip them of their clothes and put them into so-called showers, 300 at a time, and gas them and kill them and then burn their bodies. And she said God's love even met her there. And when she would speak around the world afterwards, people would, you know how they often line up after a speaker comes to a church? And they would come up and they would praise and compliment Corrie Ten Boom for her faith and her courage and all that she did. And Corrie said at the end of the day, when she would go to her bedroom, before she would go to sleep, she would think about the compliments and the praises that came her way. And she said she would take those words and she would weave them into a garland like a bouquet. And she would lift her hands to heaven. She would say, Jesus, these are all for you. You receive all the glory. Do you think it's really possible to live like that? That you really want the praise of God more than the praise of men? That is a soul that's rich before God. See, that's a person who is conformed to the image of Christ. See, you know what most Christians do in my observation anyway? Most Christians organize their lives around earthly concerns. All the obligations and things that you got to do during the week. And then they try to squeeze in the spiritual. Like, let me just see if I can make it to church this Sunday. Or in the middle of the week, take a couple minutes out to say a prayer. Maybe I'll read my Bible for a little while. Their whole life is surrounded with earthly concerns, and they try to fit in the spiritual. And Jesus said it was actually the opposite of that. It's the opposite of that way of how we are to organize our lives. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33. Many of you have memorized this verse. Have you ever thought of it in this way? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What Christ is saying, if you organize your life around the spiritual, then all your earthly tasks will fit in proper perspective. That's how it works. See, who you are determines what you do. All of your doing flows out of your being. In fact, if you just showed me two books, I could very quickly figure out how you organize your life. Show me your date book and your checkbook. Show me your calendar and how you spend your time. And show me your checkbook or your credit cards and show me how you spend your money. And it will tell me if you organize your life around the earthly or around the spiritual. It's really all about giving and not just in this season. You know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Eric preached a message on the sower and the seed. Remember that one? It's a good message. And it's, of course, a parable about receptivity to God's word, hearing God's word and how you receive it and inculcate it in your life. And I know the part of that particular parable that convicts me the most. And it's Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 22. And it says this, he that receives the seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. And then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. A seed among the thorns. Have you ever felt that way? Thorns like all the cares you have. The obligations, the tasks you have to get done, the things you got to do, caring for all your stuff. And Jesus said, all of that can actually choke the word of God within you and you become unfruitful. Paul wrote to Timothy about, worrying about that same issue in your lives. And he used a military analogy, which sort of appealed to me. It's 2 Timothy 2:6. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. To be entangled means to be all twisted together. Hard to escape. Literally, the word means to ensnare. That we get so caught up in our earthly tasks and concerns that it dominates our thinking 24/7. And Jesus says what happens to us as Christians is we become unfruitful. And your life can swiftly go from being a spiritual greenhouse to a spiritual graveyard and nothing flat. Been there, done that. Some of you have experienced that. Can you think of a time maybe when you were really excited about God and you just couldn't wait to go to church and you were growing and God was speaking to you, and then over time, it's just like the air starts to go out of your tires like a slow leak and you feel distracted. and you get too busy with your earthly obligations, and what's happening is the word gets choked within you, and Jesus says you become unfruitful. And unfruitful is a spiritual condition that should cause any of us great concern. Why is being unfruitful such an issue? Here's what Jesus said in another place in John, the 15th chapter, verse 8. He said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you would bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples." Jesus is saying that the fruitfulness in your life is actually what glorifies God. It shows that you're a disciple. It shows that you and I have got the real deal, that it's authentic, that it's genuine. And the fruit is not what you turn out. The fruit is how you turn out. It's your character. Why do we know that? Because the Apostle Paul in Galatians, the 5th chapter, says, I'll tell you what the fruit is in your life, and it's character attributes. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Some of you know these. Galatians, the 5th chapter, 22 to 23. Here's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's love. The older you get, the more you walk with Christ, are you becoming a more loving person? Joy. Are you more joyful? Peace. Are you becoming a person of peace? Patience. Even in the holiday season, have you been filled with patience and becoming more gentle? Is goodness at the core of your being? Faith and meekness and temperance. This is the measure. That's becoming like Jesus. Those are the attributes of Christ, and that's what we aspire to. Unless you think that somehow this could be sort of a moral self-improvement program, that I can just will myself to be like Jesus, it really is not so much attainment. It's a lot more like obtainment. It's obtainment. It's just opening ourselves up more to God, being more with God, being receptive. There's that God with us theme all over again. That's why I needed to hear it this Christmas time. It's God with us. Because see, when you live with someone, you start to resemble someone. Am I the only one that looks in the newspaper when they show these 50th anniversary photos and these couples that have lived together all these years? They even start to look each other. Have you noticed that? It's kind of weird. But that's how it works. When you're living with Jesus, when you spend a lot of time with Jesus, you start to resemble him. See, that is what astonished people about the early disciples in the book of Acts. They looked at him and they said, "These are unlearned men." But they saw that they had been with Jesus. They had a different spirit. There was a way about them, and people wanted that just simply by looking at their lives. Now, that doesn't mean that we're, you know, totally passive, that we just sort of sit there and say, "Okay, God, fill me." We have a part to perform. And you know what it is for us? Simply to be obedient. To be obedient. And you learn to accept the unchangeable and to change the unacceptable. Can I say that again? You learn to accept the unchangeable and to change the unacceptable, to accept God's will, accept who you are, how God made you, how you look, God's plan for your life, your domain, your place in this life, and simply bloom where you are planted. Just accept it. Thank you, God, that you put me where I am and made me who I am. And then to change the unacceptable. Almost like a sculptor that's whittling away at a piece of marble. Okay, God, I don't need to talk like this anymore. Or here's a behavior that doesn't fit the image of Christ. When we sing that wonderful praise song here about how God is always working, you know what that's about? It's about God working in you and me to grow us up. And it seems to me, since we've been talking about 2020 being kind of a rough year, that God especially uses hard times, difficulties, struggles in order to grow us up so we can shed those old ways and become new persons in Christ. I think that's the flip side of 2020, because Romans 8:28 says we're supposed to give thanks in all things, right? That God was still somehow working and doing something. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, he said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." Have you noticed this? When we have afflictions, when we have struggles in our lives, it causes us to turn to God, to run to God. God says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and I chasten." It's God growing us up. And I just wonder, as a whole nation, as well as us as individuals, that God is teaching us right now. Maybe, in fact, I'm certain that there's some of you sitting here and watching online who are going through a time of personal suffering right now. You've had a loss. Maybe it's a physical illness. Maybe it's an inner struggle that nobody knows about except you. Or maybe it's coming back to Christmas time. It's bringing back memories of past times that you had, or better times, or family members who were with you then. Or maybe you're just dealing with a deep, deep loneliness. Even when you're surrounded by people, you feel lonely inside. Or you're weighed down with cares and obligations. And so you feel tested. You feel stretched a bit. And maybe when you hear the pastor saying something about God with us, you're saying, I don't quite feel you, God, right now. You're not as close to me as I would like you to be. But listen, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher, and I know something, and you know this as well. The teacher is always silent during the test. The teacher is always silent during the test. I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. Do not mistake God's silence. God is still there. God is mindful of you and me. God is watching over us. God is loving us and helping us through this time. You know, a couple years ago at Christmas time, I got a handwritten note from an 85-year-old man who lives some distance away. Successful Christian businessman. He had given away many, many millions of dollars in his lifetime. His beloved wife had recently passed away, and here's what the note said. "Dear Terry, I'm sitting in my house alone on a Christmas morning, and I'm writing this note to you. It's very quiet, and I'm praying about what God has in store for me in this next season of my life. So I wanted you to know that I'm rereading your book, What in the World Am I Doing Here? God bless you, Bob." And I thought to myself, he's 85 years old. He's widowed. It's a Christmas morning, and he's still looking to his Lord for God's agenda for his life. See, if you have a pulse, God has a purpose. Every one of you, me included, God has a plan for every single season to grow you and me up into Christ's likeness. You know, I have a brother who's a hospice chaplain, and his congregation, they virtually all die within a year. And he was telling me about a 100-year-old man in a nursing home, bedridden. And what's his purpose? He says this man lies on his bed and he sings hymns to the glory of God. And people walk by that hall and they hear his witness to God. My friend who wrote that note has now passed on to the other side. He's with the Lord. And it eventually happens to all of us, every single one of us, because we're living in temporary housing. Oh, that's what these bodies are. We are living in temporary housing right now because we are souls. That is our essence. Our souls are living within these bodies, much like an astronaut has to have a space suit. And we are souls that live forever. And why not in 2021 decide to become a great soul in the eyes of God? That's who you're going to present to God someday. Not your bodies, not your earthly belongings, nothing. You will present your soul before God, and you will hope to hear these words. And oh, dear God, I hope to hear those words said to me someday. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. 1 John 3:2 says, if you're a child of God, when he appears, listen to this, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. It's first and goal. Friends, what are you going to do? I do not think there's one precious person listening to these words today who can say, I don't think this invitation's for me. It is an invitation for everyone because you are good people. You are such good people, and God loves you. And you know that life is a series of surrenders and rededications and mid-course corrections. And we know that if we're propping up our ladder of success against any wall except that which leads us to Jesus, it's the wrong wall. You know, I bet there's some of you that decided today, you know, that's me. I'm filling my life with too many earthly concerns. I'm just getting too busy. And I'm trying to squeeze in the spiritual. And God, could you help me reverse that pattern so I can do it the way Jesus wants me to do? Or maybe you're coming upon a new year now. And it often reminds us that, gosh, I'm still dealing with old temptations and struggles and secret sins. And God, I don't want that holding on to me anymore. If I'm going to conform to your image, I want a clear conscience when I lie down at night. Or I bet there are several people right here today, and the only reason you're in this sanctuary is because your family came. And oh, listen, God wanted you here today. And God wants you to follow Jesus. And God wants you to ask for forgiveness and surrender and say, I will follow you into eternal life. And even for those of you who are simply longing to be closer to God and have a better life, remember, when you get better, your life gets better. And only God can make us better.
Once again, thank you for choosing to worship online with us. We would love to connect with you further. Visit 3trees.com. where you'll find multiple ways to take your next step. Most importantly, we want to celebrate your decision to follow Christ or to hear about your prayer needs. Please be sure to share this content and these messages on your social media so that your friends and family can be blessed by these powerful messages. I promise you this, if you go with God, He will go with you. There are greater things that are yet to come.